we're talking about the Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC, with my friend Matar. He's a big dumb nerd for UFC, and it's pretty interesting. It's more of that that kind of sports nerddom, you know, where it's being a fan of the athleticism, being a fan of these people who are the top of their class, and just being a fan of the sport. So it's pretty interesting. Also, I'm on Twitch, twitch.tv/dumbnerdthing. We're doing D&D streams. We're doing a Star Wars stream. We do some playthroughs, etc., etc. So feel free to check that out. And there's also something on YouTube, too, also Dumb Nerd Thing. But for now, let's learn a bit about the UFC. Speaking of lungs, you know who else has lungs?
Who?
Is UFC fighters.
Oh, yes, they do.
It's my professional.
Big old lungs, dude.
Segue.
Perfect.
Yeah. You came here today, and we've been talking about getting you on here for a bit. But I said, what topics do you want to talk about? What are you dumb nerd about? You said, UFC and Naruto.
Yep. It's a very aggressive topic choice, if anything, but I think it's adequate, honestly. I'm a huge anime fan in general, and I've always just been like a big UFC fan. Just wrestled too much as a kid, honestly. Like, me and my cousins were always just like trying to beat each other's ass, like one way or another, until someone cries, and then they like run up to the parents, you know, and fucking tattletale or whatever the case may be. But yeah, I would say that's kind of how I got into it, because then I was like, oh, wait, like, you know, you start with wrestling, and then you're like, how real is this? Like, how real is this? Like, I want to see them get punched, and then, like, you find UFC, and you're like, holy shit, like, that guy just took a knee to his eyeball. Like, it's a little shocking at first, but then you're like, damn, this is real, man. Like, it's super real, so yeah, that's kind of what kind of caught my attention to it, you know?
Yeah, I almost find it hard to watch UFC. I mean, I haven't watched, like, much of it. I only catch it on, like, at, like, bars or anything. But it's like, I always see it, I'm like, oh, man, that is intense violence. But I'll watch something like wrestling or something, because I'm like, it's fake. It's impressive how it's fake.
Yeah, right? Like, they'll go home okay. Yeah, no, that's not the case with UFC. But, like, funny enough, like, UFC is, like, safer than boxing, because with boxing, you can get knocked out, and they'll give you a 10 count to get back up. So you may have gotten a concussion from that last hit, but you're not out, so they're going to give you another 12 rounds to fight. Mm-hmm. And UFC, the minute they see you get knocked out, it's fight over. Mm-hmm. Like, the minute you're no longer conscious, even if it's for half a second, it's over. So some fights can be 2-3 minutes long, right? Because, like, they're really trying to preserve, you know, the fighter. You know, they don't want them to have brain injuries and shit like that. And you really never know what happened from that one punch. So, like, even though it's ultra aggressive, right? Like, they do have some good, like, some good safety measures in there as well to kind of protect the fighters, which is really good.
They have, like, those, like, lighter gloves than a boxing glove.
Oh, yeah, the boxing gloves are heavier for
which is, which allows, like, if you have, like, more protection on your fists, you'll punch harder.
Yeah.
And that leads to more injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was hearing about.
Yeah, and it's like, because they do a lot of grappling and stuff too, so they need those lighter gloves that they can use their fingers with and stuff like that. But yeah, super intense, man. I remember I watched this one fight, and dude had a hematoma on his fucking forehead. And that's like a huge bubble, bro. Like, he was fighting, and it was like, you can look it up. I'm sure it'll be like the first Google search, but just look up like UFC fighter gets hematoma, and it's just like this massive bubble, like right in the middle of his head, because the dude kneed him like to his fucking forehead, and was just like, whoop, and dude kept trying to fight. Like, dude kept trying to fight. I was like, go home, bro. Like, fight another day, man.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it's like with UFC, it's more. I mean, I don't want to be talking shit about anything, but it seems more strategic. In like, there's a way of fighting that you do.
Yeah.
Because it's not a street brawl, and it's not the like specific rules of boxing. Yeah. It's got its own specific rules. So like, how does it work?
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, they've got their own rules for sure. But as with any combat sport, you've got two people and a ref, And with UFC, it's till knockout or submission, or it goes to the judges at the end. So with normal fights, they're 3 rounds. Like if it's a non-title fight, it's just 3 rounds, about 5 minutes. Is it 3 minutes or 5 minutes? One of those. 3 to 5 minutes each, and then, no, it's 3 minutes. And then...
you mean to say both, and then I'll edit the right one?
Just edit
in.
The
yeah.
Right. Perfect, perfect. But so then basically within that round, like, you know, you fight the person. There's some really specific stuff, like, you know, you can't poke, you know, you can't do eye pokes. Mm-hmm. And then if the person, there's like a really weird rule when it comes to like striking your opponent when they're on the ground. Because like if they're on their back and like kind of like sprawling on their back, you can kick them and shit. But mm-hmm. if they're trying to come up, but their knee is still on the mat, if one knee is still on the mat, you can't kick them or like kick them in the face or anything like that. So like one of the people I'll be talking about later, you know, one of the fights that he got disqualified for was because of that type of kick where the opponent's knee was still on the floor and he went to kick him and they disqualified him because it was outside the rules. But he's like, you guys let me kick him when he's completely on the floor, but just because his knee's down, you know, so there's stuff like that. And there's different things like you can't elbow someone like directly down in like a, I guess like a 90 degree angle essentially, right? If you take your arm and put it into a 90 degree angle, you can't come down straight onto someone with your elbow. It has to be at some type of angle. Dang. So, and then you can't hit someone, like you can't punch someone directly in the back of their head. So like if you have them mounted and you have their back, you have to like kind of do side punches to their cheeks and like to their head, but you can't just punch the back of their head directly. And like you can't hold the cage and different stuff like that. There's a lot of nuances to it, right? But you know, you can use anything, right? Like it's a combination of like kickboxing, boxing, mixed martial arts, jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, like Muay Thai, like all that put into one. So you'll see, you know, talking about strategy, right? Like you'll see different fighters implement different type of fighting styles, right? You know, some people aren't good strikers, so they're gonna try to take you to the ground right away. Just kind of do the ground and pound game, right? So they just like beat you up on the floor, but don't let you stand up. Like some people aren't good ground and pound people, so they might try to put you in a clinch, meaning like they're gonna stay close to you and like hold you within their reach and just knee the shit out of you the whole fight. And then there's some people who are just excellent kickboxers, so they're gonna want to keep it up, you know, straight fight, punching, kicking you the whole time. You know, just kind of picking their jabs, picking their punches, and just kind of pick you apart throughout the fight. So, you know, it's super strategic. And you know, the smart fighters, they do a lot of research on their opponent, right? Just so that they know who they're going to be fighting, and they'll adjust their strategy accordingly, their fighting style. Some people even go to different camps to train, right? Like you know, like the Nogueira brothers, they're notorious, you know, for their jiu-jitsu, their Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So like, you know, Anderson Silva, one of my favorite fighters, actually, you know, he went and trained with them. Like he was at like Shoto Boxing for a long time as his fighting club. But then, you know, after one of his really bad losses during, I believe when he used to fight for Pride between 2000 and 2006, you know, he lost there and he was going to quit. He's like, man, I'm tired of this shit. You know, he kind of got demotivated after the fight. And it was like Anthony Nogueira, you know, he's a freaking legend in the UFC, you know, mixed martial arts world. Just the Nogueira family, they're just legends, man. Absolute monsters of human beings. And so they're just like, don't quit, you know, like every loss is, you know, a chance for you to get better. And so he actually left the boxing ring, you know, the boxing camp he was at, and went over to Nogueira brothers in Brazil and started training with them. And then, you know, he went back to Pride and had a couple more fights and stuff like that.
But yeah.
It's a long history, man. Like, people, like, try to get into... I hate to be one of those people who's like, oh, I've been watching since I was, like, 12 or 13, you know what I mean? But it's like, people, like, get into UFC, and I'm like, hell yeah, like, I respect that you're supporting the sport, but it's like, there's such a long history to it, right? Like, I like, watch the fights now, and, like, the people that are up and coming right now, I'm just like, damn, like, you know, how do they compare to the old fighters, the Rich Franklins and the Randy Couture's and the Chuck Liddell's and
Tito
Ortiz's,
right?
Ortiz's, right? Like, the BJ Penn's, like, how would BJ they Penn's. Fight against, like, these new fighters, right? And it's just, like, the sport just continues to evolve just like anything else, you know what I mean? Like, you've got people like Anderson Silva who just came and completely changed the game, right? Like, this guy went on, like, a freaking what, like, one of the longest streaks undefeated, like, defending his title. I think 9 or 10 title fights that he beat people, right? Like, literally from 2006 up to 2013, he was running the fucking, like, UFC. Like, the middleweight, he even went up to lightweight for some fights. Like, he was running that shit, man. Like, putting, like, good fighters, like, good fighters, putting them to the dirt, man. Like, one of his first fights, like his debut fight in the UFC against Chris Leben, he made this dude look like a kid in the ring, man. Like, the way he was just tatting him up, bro. Just like, taking his time, like, playing with him. They call him the spider. They call him the spider just because he's long. He's a long, skinny black guy, bro, and he's just dangerous. And he's got, like, his head shaved and shit. Mm-hmm. He comes in there chilling, bro, but, like,
just he's like, got like some pincers coming out. Yeah, he's like, man, genetically enhanced with exactly, the spider. Right? He's got these extra arms that come out.
8 of them bitches, bro.
Damn,
it's crazy.
That's sick.
He's a fucking force to be.
If UFC allowed for like genetically enhanced fighters, I would, you know.
Who would you go with? Who would you want to be your genetic enhancement?
One of my favorite is, I think it was an Onion article. It was like of a guy who he was a UFC fighter, and then he lost his hands in an accident, and he had his hands replaced with robot hands.
Are you serious?
And they wouldn't allow him into the fight anymore because he would fit him with the force of a car. It was an Onion article, but they show like a video of like one of his fights.
Oh my god.
And he punches the guy in his face, just
implodes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think we need. I'm a big advocate of I think we need steroids. Steroids is the first level. That's the lowest level in all sports.
Okay.
And then we throw in like robotic enhancements. Mm. We throw some gene splicing. You know, we get actual spider DNA into.
Damn. So this is like some like Teen Titans Go type shit, huh? Like, we got Beast Boy in here, turning some shit, and then you got like Cyborg over here, like boxing motherfuckers.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got Shredder over here and shit like that, man. What the fuck? I'm down for it though.
Yeah, man.
It sounds like
absolutely.
A great
you ever watch or read Baki?
Baki, was that on Netflix?
Yeah,
The boxing or the fighting one?
It's a fighting anime.
Have they come out with a new season?
Insane. I only watched a couple episodes of the first season, but it's insane. They like flex their muscles in certain ways to like shoot airways, to shoot air to like knock people out. And, like they've like trained their fingernails to regrow fast.
Oh
and
my
like,
god!
Some bullshit like that.
There's another one they made. I don't know if it's Baki, but it's like very similar fighting type of thing, and it's like a fighting tournament. It's like, was it Shogun or no Shokugeki? No, I forgot what it's called.
I think and Kengan Ashura is like.
Yeah,
that.
There you go. That's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
And it's like the fighting tournament and shit, bro. That stuff's nuts, man. Like these people, you know, the guy who's like calls himself like the Claw or whatever because he like sharpened his fingers by breaking them for so long that like he just grabs into rock and climbs mountains just barehanded.
So that's what. So nobody in the UFC is doing that yet.
Nah, they're slacking,
not doing that
bro.
Yet.
They're slacking hard.
Yeah, for sure.
The steroids for sure.
But you mentioned that you've been watching this for a long time, which like. It's crazy how much you sound like such a dumb nerd right now. Such a fucking nerd right now. Just like yes. I've been, man.
Fuck yeah.
These new fans, they don't know anything about this. You know, they don't know about the classics. You know, they don't know about like old school. You know, that's what it's about. That's crazy. So you know, like the stats of all these classic fighters.
Some of them, not so. It's just like. It was their impact, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they were knocking dudes out, but it was just, like, no one wanted to fuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's like, for me, like, telling of a really, really good fighter, right? Like okay, take Brock Lesnar, right? Like, he used to fight UFC. Huge motherfucker. But people still wanted to beat his ass. You know what I mean? Like, people were still like, I'm gonna fight Brock. And he was knocking dudes out. Don't get me wrong. He's a good fighter. But, like, people were still coming, like, fucking what was his name like Shane Carlin or something like that. He used to be a heavyweight. Him and fucking Brock Lesnar used to go at all the time. Him and Frank Mir used to go at all the time. And it's just like these massive human beings, right? And like Brock's a good fighter, bro. But like no one was so scared of him that they were like we weren't gonna fight him. You know what I mean? Like then you look at motherfuckers like Anderson Silva and like people fought him, but like you knew you were about to get your ass beat. Like he was knocking out legends, bro. So his first fight was with Chris Leben, right? tear this guy up. Like, what a fucking debut, man. Like, to have your debut in the UFC be that impressive, like, that's huge, man. Like, that he took over the sport. And like I said, like, he's been fighting for a while before there. Like, he fought in Pride, like, Cage Rage, and, like, a couple different things, right? But it's just, like, once he got to the UFC is really when he solidified himself, because he's just knocking these dudes out, right? His second fight was with Rich Franklin. And at that time, Rich Franklin was at the top of the UFC, man. Like, fighting Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell and Tito and all those motherfuckers pretty often, right? And beating them, mm-hmm. right? So basically what happened was, like, he beat Chris Leben. Then the UFC put out a fucking a survey or whatever, like, and they were like, who do you think Anderson Silva should fight next? Like, left it up to the fans. And the fans were like, he should fight Rich Franklin, who's the fucking champion at the time. Like, they were like, he should fight Rich Franklin.
Did he beat him?
He destroyed him. Like, he beat him so bad, bro. Like, it was like, first round, okay, they're feeling each other out. I'm telling you, so Silva, you know, he was trained in Taekwondo, Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, like, boxing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So he's got a plethora of fucking skills
fucking
that he
can
pull from. I'm telling you, that toolkit is nuts, bro. It's nuts. But so, fucking, I think it's the second round, end of first round, he has Rich Franklin in a clinch, right? So he's mm-hmm. got his arms behind Rich Franklin's neck, and he's holding him in between, like, his two forearms, basically, mm-hmm. right? That's a clinch, like, has him tucked in, and all he's doing, he's a long, skinny dude, right? He's just kneeing him, like, he's just taking Jesus these Christ. Long, skinny knees, and just kneeing him in the ribs, just left, right, left, right, left, right. Would pull back, elbow, right back to the clinch. Keeps kneeing him. Like, Rich Franklin looked like... he looked like a kid who couldn't, like, get away from his mom by trying to whoop his ass type of thing, bro. He was just sitting there trying to take it. His body's just getting fucked up. He gets saved by the bell, right? He gets saved by the bell. Makes it out of the first round. They go into the second round, bro. Filling him out, tats him up a little bit. Rich Franklin's trying to, like, throw back, show him he's still alive. Boom. Gets him in the clinch again and just starts kneeing him again, bro. Like, these knees are vicious, bro.
Jesus.
Like, vicious. Drops him. Finish. Fight over, bro. It's like...
goddamn.
He was like... another fight of his was against, like, Dan Henderson, right? And Dan Henderson was known, like, for being a notorious wrestler, right? So people were like, okay, this is the fight that Silva's gonna need his match. Like, this guy's gonna take him to the ground. He's gonna beat him up. He submitted him. So, like, on the ground... fucking put him in a, I think it was a triangle choke. He puts him in a triangle choke and then...
met him where he lived.
Yeah, basically. Met him where he lived and beat the shit out of him where he lived. You know what I mean? Like, that's his thing, bro. People will tell him, like, oh, you're going to be fighting a, you know, a ground guy, a wrestler, you know, a Muay Thai guy, like, Jiu-Jitsu guy. You're going to be fighting someone that's better than you at this thing. He's like, but pulls up, like, yo, what's good? Like, I heard the show good. Like, what's good? You know what I mean? And just bust their ass, bro. Like, bust their ass, you know what I mean? Like, during his heyday, man, like, he was undefeated, you know? Like, for him, you know, I think it got a little, like, you know, his reputation started being tainted a little bit more towards the end of his career just because he got too cocky, man. Mm-hmm. Like, dude was just used to whooping ass and, like, sometimes he'd be in the ring just kind of playing around too much, kind of disrespecting his opponents, you know, and, like, guard down, like, slapping them and shit like that, like, which you can do. It's just, like, he's being disrespectful, and it was just, like, his fights got boring because he was bored, you know, and, like, some of them were, like, unanimous decision and shit like that. And then freaking Chris Weidman came, and they had their fight, and...
what, like, era is this? What years?
This is... I think he fought... so he's still fighting in the UFC, but I think his fight with Chris Weidman was, like, 2014? 2015? Something like that. Yeah. So, not super recent, but within the last decade at least, you know what I mean?
And well, we don't want to date this podcast. People could be listening to this in 2030.
That's
you know?
True. Yeah, so...
shout out to 2030.
Yeah, bro.
Use promo code Chris Weidman. 20% off your UFC badges.
You probably want to stay away from 2020, though. I'm telling you, man. Like, it's been a wild ass year. Unless you're down for this type of shit, I don't know if I'd come back to 2020 and if I was in 2030.
This is a record. They're gonna find this in, like, Fallout Wasteland. You know, they're gonna find the recording of this.
And they're like, alright, we definitely got to go.
Like, this is the dumbest fucking... this is giving me no information.
I feel like if I was like, I'd be one of those people who is like, if I found some shit like this and they're like, don't go to this, I'm definitely going. You know what I mean? Like, if you told me don't do this shit, like, just because of the fucking American in me, I guess, you're like, oh, this is dangerous. You're like, I'll bet. Open the door, please. You know?
So he was fighting Chris Weidman.
Yeah. Weidman. So he's fighting Chris Weidman. It was either the first fight or the second fight where he broke his leg, actually. So Silva was fighting Chris Weidman. I think he went for a leg kick and like his knee just like fucked. Like it was weird. It was such a weird injury. This is near his chin.
Silva?
Yeah, Silva. Near his chin just kind of buckled and like he broke his shit. Damn. And the fight was over, you know. And, you know, after an injury, man, it's really hard to be the same person again, right? Like, he's already getting older, you know. He wasn't, like, a young dude by any chance.
What's old for UFC standards?
I mean, tough question, because you have fighters that are really good, even old, you know. You've got, like, motherfuckers like Yoel Romero, who's, like, late 40s, but still fighting. But I would say, like, anything past, like, 33, 34. Mm-hmm. You're starting to, you know, you could go up to like 38, I would say.
Not bad.
In UFC. And it depends. I'm talking about like the elites, you know what I mean? Like the people who are good, like maintain their body, their physique, you know, didn't get too fucked up during fights. Because there's people who can't last a year and then they're done. So if you're an elite, you know, because Anderson Silva, he's like 40 something now and he's still fighting. He's not winning like he used to, but, like, he's an opponent, you know, if you know you're fighting Anderson Silva. So, which is a great transition point, actually, because one of his last fights that I watched was against Israel Adesanya, which is, like, my new favorite. He's, like, I feel like he's Anderson Silva reborn, man. Like, this dude's so fucking dope. But on his come up, basically, like, while he was on his rise, like, to become the champion, he's a champion right now. He fought Anderson Silva because Anderson Silva was winning some fights trying to get back to a championship contender, which is fucking crazy, man. Like, he's that old but still knocking dudes out. And so it's him versus Israel Adesanya. And Israel Adesanya is like has huge respect for Anderson Silva. He's like, he's one of my icons, one of my legends. He's like, this fight right now means so much to me, win or lose, right? And fucking, you know, they fought and it was just like, It was like some fucking, what was that Will Smith movie that he like was fighting the younger version of himself?
Oh yeah, Gemini Man.
Gemini Man. Yeah, it was literally like Gemini Man. It was like watching two like, you know, clones of the same person just trying to beat each other's ass and shit. And like, you know, it was a good fight. I believe it went to a decision, and Adesanya won. And afterwards, he just, like, bowed down to him, you know what I mean? Like, complete humility, just full-on, like,
damn.
Like, fully, like, on the floor, forehead, hands out, like, you know, like a master to, you know, like a student to his master, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that was an amazing fight. And for me, that was the end of, you know, Anderson Silva's career. It was like the torch had been passed, essentially, is how I felt. And he passed it to Israel Adesanya. Huge respect mutually. And then, you know, you come into the fucking last style bender.
Yeah. where do they come from,
dude? Fucking another reason why I fuck with Adesanya so much, bro.
Oh yeah,
let me get you. He is from Auckland, New Zealand, and I lived in New Zealand for 3 months actually back in 2017. I was doing like refugee resettlement work for a nonprofit down there, helping like refugees from like, you know, like fucking Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, like Myanmar, Indonesia, like all coming to New Zealand to find refuge. And, you know, spent a lot of time down there in Rotorua, in Auckland, in Wellington. So when I found out he was from fucking Auckland, which is about 3 hour flight or drive from, it's like a 45 minute flight, but 3 hour drive from Wellington, I was just like, hell yeah, like, this is my guy, you know. So he's originally Nigerian. Uh-huh. He's Nigerian. You know, he lived in Ghana for a little bit. And then once he started, like school, his parents sent him to New Zealand because they wanted him to get a good schooling. So he went to like Rotorua High, and he was bullied a lot actually while he was there. And it was just like, you know, he talks about it now, you know, he says a lot of his passion and motivation comes from being bullied in high school, right? Mm-hmm. Like being the only black kid, and like, I don't know if that's true, but like he was one of a few black kids, you know, and he was into anime and like Death Note and shit like that. And so, you know, like, people bullied him.
Yeah, no, I was bullied. I wasn't Death Note. I'm not a UFC fighter, but you know.
He was like, you know, he at that time he didn't like sports really even, which is the crazy part. Like, he was more in anime and dancing. Mm-hmm. You know, he liked to freestyle and like dance and shit like that. Like, very like musical and like more artistic, you know, creative type of guy. But kind of went into MMA because of like all the bullying and shit he went through. But yeah, from Auckland, you know, he went, you know, he was boxing, kickboxing there. Here's the crazy thing about Israel Adesanya, bro. Like, he's had 106 fights as of today. And 80 of those fights came when he was a kickboxer. Like, he has more experience than, like, before even getting to the UFC than most people have had in their whole entire career.
Okay, and so 26 of those were in the UFC?
20 of those were in the UFC. So there were 6 when he was, like, amateur kind of fighting in, Well, it was just boxing. It was just, he had 6 fights, just a boxer. Then he had 80 fights as a kickboxer. And now he's at 20 fights as a UFC fighter.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure his fucking, his kickboxing record was like 75-5.
So, like, are they, they're just on, like, local circuits before they hit the big time? UFC is, like, UFC's a company.
Yes.
Right? It's a company, so it's kind of like WWE or MLB.
Exactly.
That, like, handles all that.
Yeah.
But MMA is the...
Yeah, it's like the field.
Sport.
Yeah, the sport. Mixed martial arts is a sport.
And there's... So, like, it's just like they're picking up talent from the local...
Yeah, yeah. Sports. Like, so, like, you know, even you know, Anderson Silva, like, he was big in Japan, right? Like, he was a champion in Japan. He's a champion in China, you know, and then he came over... And he fought for Pride, which was another MMA company organization. Mm-hmm. He fought for Pride for a little bit. He fought for Cage Rage. So, like, it's a career, right? Like, from a kid, like, from whenever you're old enough, basically you start with amateur fights and stuff. If you're good enough, you kind of go through the ranks and keep leveling up, and then you can go to different places and fight, right? Like, even Adesanya, after he was fighting in Auckland for a while and in New Zealand for a while, he moved to China, right? And he was fighting in China full-time for, like, a good amount of time. And then he came over to the fucking, you know, he moved. Well, I think he still lives in New Zealand, but then he started fighting for the UFC. Mm. So it's just like, you know, you want to get to things like Bellator and the UFC because those are the big brands. Those are the ones that are going to pay you big money for your fights, you know what I mean? Like, it's a dangerous sport, man. So you want to be you want to be fighting in the limelight, man.
Yeah.
Like, getting paid for those fights. So, you know, Adesanya came in. And, like, he just picked up so many fucking awards right away. Like, every fight was fight of the night, fight of the night, knockout of the night. Like, all those crazy things. So he was, like, busting dude's ass, but doing it in style. You know what I mean? Like, very entertaining to watch. And, you know, I think that definitely attributes to his success. Is just, like, he's just a badass when he's out there. And he embodies, like, his anime shit. Like, he's a big Naruto fan. His fucking Lambo, you know what the name of his Lambo is on his license plate? Kurama. Yeah. He's got an orange Lambo named Kurama.
That's so sick.
I'm like, this guy's nuts, bro. He's nuts.
That's awesome. I mean, it's so interesting how there's this, like, and I talked about this on a couple other episodes, like, especially with, like, sports episodes, where there's this narrative that's going on, this, like, live, unscripted narrative of these fighters that is progressing naturally. And it's so interesting, like, the same moments that you'll see scripted out in, you know, Rock Lee versus Gaara, you know, you'll see acted out live naturally in a UFC fight where, like, you know, he was just like, he clinched him and he was just kneeing him and he got, you know, he met him where he met the other guy where he lived. Like, those are all, like, beats in a story, you know? And, like, this story of Israel, like, moving up the ranks and, like, going up to the Pokemon Masters, he's getting up to the Elite Four.
Like,
you know,
he's like, "I'm fucking Naruto, and I just beat Pain and shit like that." One of his last fights, you know, the cool thing, the thing, you know, I really like about Israel is just like, I like his message. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a really, you know, down to earth guy and very. I'm not gonna call him humble because he's not, but like, he's humble in the same way that I think.
Yeah, he's got
humble.
A bright orange Lambo.
Yeah, exactly. That tells you enough about him, but it's just like, I don't know, I'm kind of like that too, and just like, I'm very self-confident, and, like, you know, if I think I'm the shit and do some shit that was, like, that was dope, I'm gonna let you know that was dope, you know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of how he is, but, like, I know, like, he does it a lot for show, because, like, he's in the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be, like, a hot topic. Like, you've got to be exciting and want people to fucking know who you are. That's how you stay relevant. Like, they'll be good fighters, but if you don't have any buzz around you, like, no one's gonna care.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps the buzz around him, you know what I mean? Like, so I know a lot of it's just to maintain that image. Some of it is who he is, but it's like, I know at the root of him, he's a really good guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, when he came out, when he started getting up there, like, you know, he's, like, 29 now, right? Like, it's kind of old to start your career, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he was just like, I'm not, like, obviously I'm gonna get the title, but I'm not here just for my title. Like, I'm here for the legacy, right? He's like, I want to fight, like, all the people that people don't want to fight. Like, he's like, I want to fight all the big names and I want to take them out, right? Like, he's like, I want my legacy to be like, yeah, Israel was never scared to fight anyone.
Mm.
And he went and took down the biggest, baddest motherfuckers, right? And it's like, when he was talking about this shit, I'm just like, one of the guys that he fought, Yoel Romero, like, this guy is a monster, bro. Like, the specimen that he is like, bro, like, he's like 44, 45 right now, bro. Like, I don't even know how to describe how physically fit this man is.
Mm.
And he's huge. You see him, like, shoulders, like, to his ears, bro. Like,
just, what's his name again?
Yoel Romero. Y-O-E-L. And then Romero. R-O-M-E-R. Like,
Google along at home.
Yeah, right? Dude, he's massive. He's massive.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Dude. No one wanted to,
yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. And, like, his opponents say, like, outside of him hitting you, hitting him hurts you. He's like, the man's made out of steel, bro. You hit him and your hand hurts afterwards, bro. Like, and he's ferocious, right? Like, people didn't really want to fight him, man. Like, they didn't really want to fight him. And after Israel won the championship from Robert Whittaker, which he did in, like, utmost style, just amazing fight, he called out Yoel Romero. So, you just became champion, like, after all these years, man, working your way all the way up to the top, and then they're like, who do you want to be your next fight? And you go, and you find the biggest, baddest, darkest monster that's, like, not, that hasn't fought in a while because no one wants to fight him, you know, and you're like, I want to fight that guy for my first title defense.
That's crazy. Like, you wouldn't think with, like, an official sporting organization,
mm-hmm,
that the fighter wanting to fight somebody and calling them out, yeah, on TV, yeah, is going to, like, cause them to then be the next fight. Yeah. But that is. And so that brings in, that's, like,
exactly,
connects that personal narrative element, exactly, into that. That's, yeah, crazy.
I mean, like, Yoel Romero was a couple fights away from the title anyway, so he was in the contending, mm-hmm, area, you know what I mean? But, like, he wasn't fighting much because there's, like, there just wasn't that many people that wanted to fight, mm-hmm, him, and there just weren't any opportunities, really. But it was just, like, he was within, it wasn't like he was retired or something.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, he literally was like, yeah, I want to fight that guy. And Israel Adesanya is a relatively skinny fighter. And Yoel Romero, as you just saw, is a massive guy.
Yeah.
So people were like, this is a terrible matchup for you. Like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, I want to take out the biggest, baddest guy. It's like, nice. Naruto fighting Pain. You know what I mean? You know, and that fight itself was kind of boring. Like, both of them were very strategic because it's like, Israel had to be careful because that dude has so much power.
Mm-hmm.
He can knock him out in one punch if he actually connects. But then Yoel, like, his whole fear was running out of steam.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, he was going to get tired too fast and Israel was just going to pick him apart. So it was kind of a slow fight, you know, and Yoel didn't really engage too much and Israel was kind of tentative. But he won the fight by unanimous decision. And then Israel won the fight by unanimous decision. And then right after that, he calls out Paulo Costa. Which is like, I'm not, he's a crazy dude, bro. He goes and calls out these massive individuals, bro. These human beings, bro. I'm like, what's wrong with you? And at that point, people were referring to, or Paulo Costa was referring to himself as the Eraser. That's his nickname. The Eraser. Yeah.
I don't want to meet anybody Look who calls up, himself bro. The Eraser.
He's also a massive human, bro. Like, just,
what's his name again?
Paulo,
P-A-U-L-O.
Costa, yeah.
Yeah, it pops
Another huge individual.
Oh my god. Huge. Jesus Christ.
He's massive.
I'm going to look up Israel. Oh, what's his last name again?
Adesanya. A-D-E-S-A-N.
There it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's got like long, skinny arms.
Long, skinny arms.
Jeez. Dude.
And he's fighting his monster.
He's doing Rock Lee pose.
I'm telling you, bro.
Fucking weeb.
The guy's sick, bro. He's in there doing all this shit, bro. Like, it's crazy.
That's incredible.
Yeah, he's nuts. And calls up Paul Costa, calls him like a blown-up clown animal or like balloon animal, saying all his muscles are fake and shit like that. Paulo Costa was on a 12-0 run before this fight. He was undefeated, 12-0. Damn. Primarily KOs and TKOs. So this isn't no lightweight, like, bullshit. And he knocked him out. Like, what?
Israel knocked out Paulo.
Yeah, last weekend.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Talked hella shit to him, like... You know, he's funny. Like, Israel has a mouth on him, but he talks a lot. He's like a Conor McGregor, you know what I mean? Just spitting shit at you all day. They were talking hella shit to each other, back and forth. And he just beat him up, bro. Like, the whole fight was just one-sided.
Just knocks him out. Dude, he's like, that's my hell.
He fucking, it's the first round, tags him up, you know, punching him good, this type of thing. Second round comes in, they get a little closer. Israel's giving him body shots, head shots, nice combos, like, kicks to the head, all these different type of things. And then they're engaging in, like, the middle of the ring and throwing them. And, like, Israel just comes over with the left hook and just barely, like, just got him, like, in the mandible, basically, right? And knocked him out. Because that's all it takes, really, you know what I mean? Like, he just, it wasn't a clean punch where it was, like, direct. But as he was swinging through, he just happened to catch him with, like, you know, the side of his hand, basically, like, the top of his knuckles, knocks him out. Paul Costa goes down. Israel Adesanya gets on top of him, hits him twice, throws down a fucking elbow like through
at
his scarf.
Angle.
Yeah, at an angle. Throw down the angle elbow, fucking just collapses him. Judge stops the fight. As he's getting up from on top of him, he humps him. Like, as a fuck you. Yeah, he fucking humped him like fucking dog style humped him. Jesus Christ. And then it gets worse. After he's humping him, right, and he gets off of him and fucking gives him the middle finger, he's running around the ring doing laps, like, I can still go, comes back and starts fucking breakdancing right behind the guy who's got doctors and shit taking care of him, like, doing, like, fucking spins and shit on his head.
Oh my fucking god.
Bro.
That's fucking
like,
awesome.
Like, what? Like, what, bro? Like...
I mean, are they... So, like, are any of these people, like... After that, do they, like, go get drinks after that? No, they actually just straight up hate each other.
This is like, you know, they'll respect each other after a fight, because, like, after a fight, you get all that emotion.
But after, I don't care how much I respect it. Somebody starts humping me, bro.
Like, it's just like, it depends on how much hype there is before the fight. Because some fights are like, all right, we're going to go do this. Some fights, you're fighting people from your own camp, you know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes it's not going to be that much fucking hula, you know, it's not going to be that much shit talking, but... These two dudes didn't like each other, like, and talked hella shit to each other a lot, like, a lot, man. Like, so, afterwards, he knocked him out, humped him, fucking ran around the ring, did some laughs, and then fucking broke dance behind him while he was getting tended to by the doctors. And then Paulo Costa goes on Twitter and shit, or Instagram, whatever, he's like, I want another fight. Now. Like, I'm some weird ass, like, I don't even know what the fucking...
Just going full Joker mode.
Yeah, bro, just like... Dana White, Israel, make the fight happen now. Like, I'm like, bro, your eye's still swollen, like, you're still half concussed, like, did you recover yet? Who gave you your phone, man? Like, it's not okay, bro.
Apollo Creed in the hospital bed yelling for a rematch.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, bro, like, where's your PR guy? Like, someone's not taking care of you.
Damn.
Like, crazy shit, man.
Damn. So, if somebody wants to get into UFC and get into all this shit, I mean, it's like, there's... Like, I have no idea where to start. Like, if there's, like, if somebody's into, like, movies or games, it's like, this is what you watch. But what do you,
so much, right?
Like, there's so much, and it's well, how do you get into the UFC?
I mean, just...
How do you get into these fighters?
I mean, YouTube, man. Like, there's... everything's on YouTube, bro. Like, I mean, like, you'll hear their names and shit, but, like, I don't know, go follow the UFC on Twitter, go follow them on Instagram, and, you know, they'll give you some people, you'll see some shit, but, like, just... I think with anything, man, like, just follow people and tap into people that you're genuinely interested in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can go in and just type in, like, top fighters in the UFC right now and, like, see, like, you know, a good amount of people who are doing their thing right now, and that's fine. But it's, like, you know, just tap into the network in general, right? Like, figure out what's going on and then, you know, tune into some fighters that you like. So it's just, like, it's hard to be, like, go to this specific thing because sure. It's not like that. But, you know, I would just start, like, going on to UFC and finding, like, just look up, like, best highlights of 2020 UFC, like, or best knockouts or something like that, and watch that, like, a 5-6 minute video. If it hypes you up, if you see a fighter in there, go look up that fighter's name and, like, look at their highlight video and shit.
Does there, like, exist, like, a Wikipedia? like a fan Wikipedia for UFC? Because, like, where is this? Like, you have all this knowledge in your head, but, like, is this written out anywhere?
No. I don't think there is. I'm sure there's UFC blogs. Like, they've got an analyst and all that type of stuff. But, like,
forums.
Yeah. There's definitely all that shit. But, like, I don't, from my knowledge, I don't think there's one place where you can be like, all right, this is going to tell me about, because it's so much. Like, there's so many people. So it's like, that's why I say it's, I think it's better to hone in on one fighter and learn a lot about them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I watched a shit like The Ultimate Fighter, which is like the UFC's little reality show. They have, like, the fighters in the fight in the house, and, like, they fight each other each week and all this shit. And, you know, that's a thing. Like, I used to watch that, but, like, that's not real UFC, but that teaches you, like, all the up-and-comers, right? Like, I was watching that shit where, like, Kevin Gastelum and Uriah Hall and all those motherfuckers were there, like, when John Jones was a coach, and, like, when fucking, you know, like, you had fucking, what's his name? His face is in my head right now. Uriah Faber, you know, you had all those motherfuckers. Like, it's just a long history, and it's, like, something that I've just followed for a really long time, just because I love combat sports, and I wish I could do it, but I can't, so I live vicariously through them. But, you know, I would just say, like, you know, just take a general interest first and generally start following some UFC-related, you know, stuff. And then as you get more interested, just look into people's past, because no one is in the UFC now just randomly. You know, like, the UFC didn't just be like, it was like you start as a fighter and all of a sudden you're a fucking UFC fighter. Like, you got to work your way up. So... yeah, man. There's a lot to it.
yeah.
There's a lot to it.
But, you know, I'm always down to watch people beat the shit out of each other just in highlight reels. Yeah.
Genuinely trying to hurt each other.
Sick. Well, yeah, we'll come back for another episode to do Naruto.
Yeah, man.
So,
I talked my ass off.
Yeah, just tune in for that.